I want to thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday evening service. If you guys can turn your Bibles to the book of Jude, second to last book of the Bible there. We'll look there this evening. And before I do, let me just say out at the back table there, there is more information about the college if you're looking for more information tonight, as well as different cards or paperwork you could fill out if you're looking to get more information sent to you at home. They do have CDs available. I hope the music was a blessing to you tonight. And they have CDs available, two brand new CDs. One of them is from the group that was here last year. They put together an entire CD called Old Time Religion. You heard the girls sing one of the songs from there tonight, as well as another CD of about 200 of our students came together and put together a CD called Lift Up the Cross, as well as many other CDs that have come out throughout the years, and that's available on the back table for one for 15, two or more for $10 a piece. And then we also have stringed and piano music books for those that play stringed or piano instruments there. And those are $10 a piece if you'd like to look into those to play in church and be a blessing to your church family. I want to look at here at Jude chapter number, not chapter, it's really just one book of the Bible here, just a very small book of the Bible, but a very powerful book of the Bible. I'm going to read one verse and I'll pray. The Bible says in verse number 5, I therefore put in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believe not. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us to the service here tonight. I pray that you bless us as we look into your word, and I pray that you give us a truth from your word that's going to help us, Lord, just be closer to you and help us be better followers of you. In your name we pray, amen. The book of Jude here has a very famous statement, and the book of Jude tells us to contend for our faith. And why does the book of Jude tell us to contend for your faith? Because the book continues to talk about those that turn away from their faith. And it would be very foolish of me to say that it's never going to be me. Or as believers, sometimes people say, well, that's so-and-so. So-and-so turned away from the faith and kind of quit on God, but that's never going to be me. And I don't think we could be foolish enough to say that, because to be honest with you, it's only by the grace of God that we're continuing on and we're still here today. But we've seen pastors preaching in a pulpit just fall from the Lord. We've seen missionaries come off the field. You've seen good Christian families, just families get torn apart, who at one point were very faithful, serving members of the church, and then they just kind of drop out. Their family just is shipwrecked, as the Bible says. So the Bible tells us here to contend for our faith, and God put this verse in here. In verse number 5, he said, put in remembrance. Then he gives us some biblical examples here of people that we need to put in remembrance. He says first, he talks about the children of Israel that were saved out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed, that believed not. Then he talks about the angels that were in heaven that rebelled against God, and the angels that were not kept their first estate, but left their own habitation. He hath reserved an everlasting change under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Then in verse 7, he talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, even Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Why does God want us to remember these different groups of people? It says it right there in verse number 7, as an example. Sometimes we can look back at history, and I think we have history not just to learn some interesting facts, which many of you here are probably big history buffs and like to learn about history and the different point of views and read different books about different presidents or different wars, and you could probably study it out and you know every little detail about it. But why does God give us this little history lesson here about these groups of people? He does it because he wants us to remember so we can learn from history. I think God gives us example after example in the Bible to remember for us to learn what somebody else have already done to try to do it better ourselves. And tonight, I just want us to look through Scripture. I can give you example after example from Scripture where God tells us to keep in remembrance or to remember. But tonight, I just want to look at three things tonight. If you guys can turn with me over to Joshua chapter number 4. Joshua chapter number 4, children of Israel, the ones that had disobeyed the Lord, have spent 40 years in the wilderness because they did not listen to the Lord, they did not follow after the Lord. And now the new generation builds memorials. It says in verse number 5, and Jonathan said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you every man of you a stone upon his shoulders according unto the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan, and the waters were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. They set up those memorials because they wanted the children of Israel to remember what God had done for them. That God had brought them through out of bondage, out of the wilderness, and into a land that he had promised them, and he delivered them. So as those young men walked and they had asked their fathers, hey, why is that there? Their fathers could tell them of the goodness of God. I think about it being Memorial Day weekend. And you'll go different places and we build memorials to remember. To remember. We have a whole day dedicated in our country as a Memorial Day to take a time in one day. And yes, we grill out, we have a good time, play some softball. But it's a day to remember those that have given their lives so that we could have freedom. It's a Memorial Day. It's a day as a reminder that we're not preaching here and having freedom to preach by accident. There's those that gave their lives so that we could assemble. And to think of, and that's why we have memorials, to think about, hey, these men served, these men gave their lives, and it may be somebody we don't even remember, but we just want to have a memorial of it to remember. And in this moment, as those children of Israel went by those stones, they could remember the goodness of God in their life. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you think about the goodness of God in your life? Do you remember the blessings that God has given you in your life? Because frankly, oftentimes it's easy for us in our fleshly thinking to always think about the negative. Always thinking about what bad is going on. Can I challenge you tonight? Before you go to bed tonight, take a piece of paper and just write down some blessings that God has given you in your life. You know, Brother Daniel Weiss reminded me of a blessing just today. I said, man, you know, we go to so many churches, and I know I've been here before. And I said, Daniel, I don't remember much about the service last year and that. And he goes, do you know why? Because it was only live streamed. When I brought the group here last year to this church, Pastor Wife called me and said, hey, we're quarantining tonight. Everybody's going to be at home. Well, we're going to have a service anyway. I said, we'll be there. So it's just a few of us in the auditorium here. The rest of you are online. But I can look back at that moment and I can think and I can say, do you know what, Lord? I know we went through that, but I'm so thankful today for your blessing for us to be able to assemble all together here tonight. Because a year ago, we weren't here. We weren't here with everybody here. Even in this church, as I was preaching behind, I was preaching to a camera right there. And to a couple folks that were here. But I'm grateful for the blessings of God. Grateful that God has given us a church family here. The ability to congregate, to preach to the community. So many blessings that God has given us in our lives. Some of us can focus on, well, my health's not that great and all these different things. But could we be thankful to the Lord for the blessings he's given us? To think about those blessings that God has given us in our lives. I am so glad that this generation of the children of Israel thought to think about the mercies of God than the previous generation who constantly just thought about how good they had it in Egypt. No wonder those people died in the wilderness. Most negative, complaining people you've ever met in your entire life as you read through Exodus, how Moses was literally just driven mad dealing with these people because all they wanted to focus on was the negative. We're not getting what we want. We need food, so God gives a manna for heaven. And instead of saying, Lord, thank you, where's the meat? What else, God? God sends quail, and still not good enough for them. And then they complain about water, and God sends miracle after miracle to provide water for the children of Israel, yet it's still not good enough. And oftentimes we get in mindsets where everything is just not good enough. What God's doing isn't good enough. It isn't up to what we think we deserve. Let me tell you, we don't deserve anything. But praise the Lord, God gives us blessings each and every day, and we should think about the blessings of the Lord in our life and remember those things. Because if we're going to make it long as a Christian, we can either spend our Christian life in the wilderness, so to speak, as a complaining Christian that focuses on the negative, or we could be a promised land Christian who focuses on the goodness of God and the blessings that he's given us in our life. But we cannot have that victorious promised land Christian life if we're living in the negative constantly. Think about the goodness of God. Share the goodness of God with somebody else. Share how God has blessed you, why God has helped you. I love reading the New Testament because everywhere Paul went to give his testimony, it was always, hey, here's what God did to me on the road to Damascus, sharing the goodness of God in his life to somebody else. Let's remember the goodness of God in our life tonight. Let's write it down. Let's put it up there to remember. Let's make a memorial about it. Just say, God, thank you for my family. God, thank you for my home. God, thank you for a church. God, thank you for my salvation. God, thank you for my health. Hey, God, thank you for so many different blessings that you've given me that I don't deserve, yet you still bless me day after day. Next, I want you guys to turn in the Bibles to Luke chapter number 17. God mentioned the children of Israel there in Jude chapter number 5. He also mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah there in verse number 7. But if you look at Luke chapter number 17, in verse number 32, very short verse of the Bible here. You know, the shortest verse in the Bible is John 11:35. Jesus wept. This verse lost it by one word. But Jesus says here, remember Lot's wife. Thousands of years later, Jesus is telling people to remember Lot's wife. See, God told us to bring in remembrance what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah, how God used them as an example. Then in the New Testament, God is speaking and teaching, and he tells the people there to remember Lot's wife. Why should we remember Lot's wife? Look at verse number 33. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Sodom and Gomorrah is getting, God is using it literally as a biblical example, just setting an example for the rest of eternity of how God deals with people that are just in the world and living their life how they want to, just completely worldly and anti-God. And Lot's wife, after God sent Abraham on a manhunt to find righteous people, and Abraham could find barely anybody, God gives Lot and his wife a free ticket out. And as they're running away, as the place is just coming down, almost like an action movie, you know, with the explosions going on behind them. Normally in those action movies, you don't see the guys looking back at the explosion, right? They're just running for their lives. But in that moment, as this place is crumbling and there's fire and brimstone and just complete destruction, instead of focusing on the future that God gave Lot's wife and just running towards whatever God's got for me, praise the Lord, he's rescuing me, whatever he's got forward in the future, that's what I'm running towards. Lot's wife decides to turn around. And in a moment, she turns to a pillar of salt and is gone. Because God is looking down and watching this woman look back at the world that he just saved her from. Thought, what are you doing looking back? No. You got to look towards what I have for you in the future. And you know, oftentimes Christians in our lives after we're saved, instead of focusing on eternity, what God has for us in our future, what things that God has, you know, this life is only temporary. This life is only a short little blip of what's going to be our eternity in heaven. And yet, instead of focusing on heaven and our eternity and things that are going to last eternal, like souls, like the Word of God, like treasures in heaven, we focus so much on this world. We focus so much on the world around us, on temporal things. Some Christians often even glory in the times when they weren't even saved. I've heard so many Christians say, man, you should have been some of those parties that I was at. And it's almost as if they're glorifying in their unsaved state. Like that was the glory days, and today, no, you being saved and heaven is the glory days. Not the life of sin. Not the life of judgment. We shouldn't glory in our past lives. We should say, I should glory in what God has for me in my future. But oftentimes the devil wants us to focus so much on the world, distracts us, gets us worried about so many different things that are going on right now in politics and inflation and all these different things and what's going to go on with my retirement and all these different things. And yes, we should focus on that and take care of our families. Absolutely. But oftentimes Christians spend so much time focusing on what's happening right now. What car am I, what new car do I need to get? What new toy? What new this or that? And they focus so much on worldly things and what our fingers can touch and material things that we forget about heaven. We forget that God has a huge future for us and He wants us to start investing in that future. And we invest in that future by leading others to Christ, by sharing our faith with other people, by populating heaven. We do that by worshiping and being in God's Word, which will last forever. I don't want to be a stranger of God's Word someday. And lastly, God tells us to put treasures in heaven, yet we want to just hang on to our earthly possessions instead of saying, how can I invest into eternity? What can I do for a missionary this week? What can I do to help propagate the gospel? What can I do to expand God's kingdom this week that's going to last forever rather than just putting something away that's only temporary? But Lot's wife focused so much on the world and tried to preserve that world, and she lost her life instead of saying, do you know what? I'm going to give it all. I'm going to focus on eternity. I'm going to focus on the future that God has for me. And that future is going to be a million years from now for those of you that are saved tonight. Not just a few years. Last thing I want you guys to look at is a very famous verse. And I don't know how often your church looks at this, but normally churches look at this about once a month, this passage of Scripture. But if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Normally, preachers preach this. You guys see the same message right here, down here at, on the Lord's Supper table. But the Bible says the same thing that this piece of furniture says. This do in remembrance of me. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Jesus knew that there was going to come a time in our lives that those of us that are saved here tonight would often forget about the most amazing thing that has happened to us, and that's him dying on the cross. The disciples didn't really understand this at the time. This is before he went to the cross. But Jesus said, I even want to institute an ordinance for as believers, as people that believe in me, I want you guys to do this. to remember me and remember what I did. And many churches do that on a monthly, sometimes annual basis, no matter how your church does it. I was watching a news report of last week of people trying to explain what communion was in worldly terms. And what they left out was is that it's done so that we can remember what Christ did for us on the cross. I don't know what their definition was way out there. I was like, I don't know if we're doing the same thing here, because the reason I do that is to remember what Christ did for me on the cross. But I shouldn't wait for the cup and the plate to be passed, or the little to-go cups, right? During COVID, you know, our church has the little to-go cups, you know, the little prepackaged ones during COVID that we use. But I shouldn't wait for that to come across me in a church service for me to think about what Christ did for me on the cross. That should be something I should be doing on a daily basis. Because as the book of Jude talks about contending for your faith, sometimes it's easy for Christians to walk out of church, walk away from Christ, walk away from a relationship with Him when they start becoming ungrateful. Start becoming ungrateful for that sacrifice that Christ made for them on the cross. You know, and that's such a great principle in our lives. Those of us that are married here tonight, the easiest day to be married is the day when you're most grateful for your spouse. But it's easy for people to walk away of a marriage when they become ungrateful for the person that they share their life with. They start becoming ungrateful. And it's so easy for Christians to say, do you know what? Church doesn't matter anymore. My relationship with Christ doesn't matter anymore. This whole Christian faith isn't important when they start to take what Christ did for them on the cross and just treat it as any old thing and not grateful for it. If you're a saved Christian here tonight, I hope that you just think back and say, do you know what? I remember the day I was saved. I remember that moment that God saved me out of a life of sin. I don't care if you're 5 years old or 25 years old. And say, God, thank you for what you did for me on the cross. Let me not forget it. You know, it's such a blessing to me when I see Christians in their 70s or 80s. I had a Sunday school teacher growing up, a man that was saved out of alcohol. It was almost like a light switch went on. He got saved in his driveway after his wife and his son, who's now a pastor, prayed for him for years. And he finally came to the point in his driveway that he just called out to God and got saved and never touched a drip of alcohol ever since. But now, 50 years later, that man in his 80s gets choked up every time I talk to him about his salvation, because he's still, as 80 years old, it's still as real to him as it was 50 years ago. And no wonder he's been faithful for the Lord all these years, because it's still so real to him as if he got saved yesterday. But oftentimes we take our salvation as almost like we deserved it. We didn't deserve any of it. It was something that God did, and it was a gift for the guilty. I didn't deserve it, but God gave it to us anyway. And that's something I should be grateful for every single day. You know, if you're here tonight, and I don't leave a message without saying this, but if you're here tonight and you say, well, I don't remember when I put my trust and faith in Christ. I don't remember a day that I accepted God's free gift of salvation and repented of my sins and trusted Him and Him alone to take me to heaven. I don't remember a time I did that. I give an example of Miss Liz in our tour group. She got saved, singing with the tour group. She got saved 2 weeks ago, got her salvation settled. She gives a testimony some places that we go. I remember as a teenager getting saved because, you know, I say, well, I made a profession at some age. I don't really remember it, but my mom says I did it. And I battled with that for a long time, went in and out of church. And finally, I'm so glad that one day I said, you know what? I'm doing it. And I walked down on a Sunday night before the service, knocked on the preacher's door, and he led me to Christ right in his office there. And I'm glad that I got it settled. Miss Liz grew up in Canada as a missionary's kid. Made a profession of faith at a young age. Then around 9 years old, it bothered her. But, hey, I don't want to go forward now. Even as a teenager and as a college student, she didn't want to do it. But hearing the testimony of other people giving their salvation, she said, you know what? Can't live like this. Need to get it settled. And statistics show that even a church of this congregation, there's somebody who says, you know what? I'm just not sure. I've never got it settled. And sometimes we procrastinate. Sometimes we're worried about what other people think. Sometimes we try to reason it away. But in our heart, when we talk about heaven or hell, when we talk about salvation and what Christ did on the cross, it bothers us. That conviction just pricks us in the heart. And if that's you here tonight, don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Don't push it off any longer. Just say, Lord, tonight's the night that I'm going to give it over to you. Then I'm going to accept you as my personal Savior, not just my Savior of my family, of my parents, of this church family, my personal Savior for myself. And I hope that's you tonight. But as saved Christians here tonight, in closing, I just pray that we remember a few things. Number one, that we remember the past and learn from it. Number two, that we remember the blessings of God in our life. Remember what God has for our future, not what he has for us in this world. And always remember what Christ did for us on the cross. Yeah.